What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 38 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chanman V, and co-hosting with me, as always, is Trump over here to my right. What's up, Trump?
Hello.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I can smell the motivation. The motivation.
And then we got our guest today, first-time guest on Value Town. A person that you've probably seen a lot around the community over time. He's been he's been doing Hearthstone even before the beta, I believe. Been doing some cool events, just articles and stuff like that for the Mana Grind at the time. But we got Noxious. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Greetings and happy to be here. Actually, didn't expect it.
I've been meaning to invite you for the longest time. I mean, we obviously met at BlizzCon and. For months now, I've been wanting to get you on the show, and finally, I feel like this is the right time to get you on and to talk about Naxxramas, Plague Quarters. It's good stuff, right?
Nax, yeah, good stuff.
What is that?
I'm not saying anything. It's good stuff. It's great stuff. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, today, guys, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Plague Quarters. We also went over all the cards last week, but we'll talk about just the bosses and maybe some of the kind of cool strategies and decks that we've all come up with. And then we'll go into some deck talk. Noxious has a pretty cool mage deck he's been having a lot of success with. And then Trump's had his free-to-play run with Rogue and then Zoo recently, so we'll get the lowdown on that also. And then at the end, we'll do Q&A as always. You guys, go ahead and tweet your questions to @ChanManV, and we'll try to get to as many questions as possible at the end of the show. But okay, let's talk about Plague Quarters. So everybody here got
people say you're sounding very loud compared to both of us.
Oh, am I? Okay, let me turn down a little bit. Okay, that should be better. Okay, so Plague Quarters. Everybody got into Plague Quarters, okay, right?
Took time, I guess.
Yeah, when did you get in?
I got in fine. I tried it on Asia the day before, like it came out a lot earlier, and then I got in instantly on NA because I think if you purchase this with money,
yeah,
previously it didn't lock or something like that. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I didn't have any problems.
Purchasing it with money versus gold, was there a difference? I was just trying to purchase the gold, so
yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe gold too much queue and money just goes in premium.
I don't know. Trump, did you get in like immediately or did it take you some time?
I couldn't do it on Asia since I didn't have the money there, so mm-hmm. I did it on Europe, and it didn't take the first few times, but after an hour I did it. I know that there are still some people who have problems with it.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't a great release, but I got in eventually.
That's good. Probably yeah, I got in last night too, so, but once you got in, it was pretty fun, and I figured we should talk about just the bosses, the three bosses, and even the class challenges, and even heroics and that sort of bit. So, what did you think about the three bosses? I mean, they're all quite different. It's kind of similar to the Arachne Quarters too, where it's like I think people probably use different decks for one or two of the bosses. Were you guys able to use the same decks against all three, or did you have to switch it up? Like, what classes did you use against each? This is a spoiler, by the way, guys. If you guys haven't gotten in yet, like, don't listen to the first part of this show. Like, kind of tune it off for about 15, 20 minutes here, and then join back in a little later.
Yeah, so I use different classes. I think the thing is, on Asia, I use a very different lineup because I basically made a new account, completed the tutorial, and threw myself on Heroic Naxx with basic cards. Mm-hmm. Something you never, by the way, want to do. You will smash your head against the wall time and time again. I did the first one with Ram Druid, then I think the other one was
Ram Druid, okay.
Priest on Hagen. Hagen was that? Yeah, it was Priest. And then the last one was Priest as well with Elven Archers to ping off the initial spore to kill the Fen Creeper. It's very RNG based, but I got it done with basic cards. It took ages. Never again.
Never again. How about you, Trump?
I had a similar path. I had to use an account with not very many cards. I did have my Europe account is where I did my free-to-play Shaman, so I had the Shaman deck, which I ran for all of normal. Mm-hmm. I tried out all the heroics with the Shaman. I didn't try out Noth because I knew it would be a disaster with the Shaman.
Yeah,
so I did Hagen, and that was fine. I got that pretty easily with Shaman since I could just sack the totems to the ability.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think
about that. On Loetheb, I built a Wisp Rush deck, and it worked out pretty well. I chose Rogue because it has sap to deal with that Fen Creeper. I think that was
pretty good. Oh, that's nice. Oh, wow. And okay, yeah, that's cool.
On Noth, I just went with a Priest, and then like I literally put in 30 Priest cards, and then I luckily won the first one. It was like some Divine Spirit Inner Fire thing, since I didn't want my stuff to die.
Oh, wow, that must work wonders. I should have tried that.
Yes, let's see. I think with Noth, I ended up doing it with a Warlock. Just adding every one of those sacrificial packs and corruption and everything just to kill off as much of the demons as possible. And then,
yeah, sacrificial pact is a surprisingly good idea.
Yeah, even corruption actually worked, ended up decently. Let's see. Hagen, what did I end up using for Hagen? Hagen, I think I... Wait, that's the one that's... Oh, two of the leftmost, right? I forget what I used for Hagen. I might have continued to use maybe a handlock, I think, for Hagen. I can't actually remember. I know for Loetheb, I used a priest in the end, just with all the healing. And, you know, Lightwell was actually pretty good, too. So Lightwell and Earthen Ring and some of those ended up working out. I ended up getting this situation where I Holy Nova'd, and I ended up with two guys with over 40 damage. Because they had like
spores?
Yeah, they had like five spores or four spores on the board. So I ended up with two minions with insane amount of damage.
The AI is not the best on Lothab. I mean, he once faceless a spore.
Yeah, he did that to me.
I never understood why.
Yeah.
I'll never understand.
But I liked it. I liked the design of it. Lothab, I think, in normal was super easy. And then for some reason, it took a little bit. It took a few tries or several tries for me in Heroic. But yeah, overall, I think it was cool. It was interesting, like how the bosses were designed. What did you guys think, like overall? Just do you think any of them were too easy, or you think they were just right?
No, I think they were. Well, honestly, I think Heroic versions are almost. I wouldn't say they're like the normal one is. You know, obviously, kind of easy if you have the right deck.
Yeah.
But I find on Heroic, it's borderline not even in your hands whether or not you're going to win a lot of the time. I feel like the wins I get, I don't deserve, and the ones I lose, I don't deserve either. It's just something that happens. It's kind of, it's really, really mind-boggling.
What do you mean by, like, you don't deserve it? You mean,
Did you have the two right cards in your starting hand? Did he not top deck you time and time and time again? I don't know. It's worse than, you know, I don't know. They just seem to have those cards that if they don't have them, you can beat them easily. And if they do happen to play those at the right time, there's no way you can come back at any point. The AI is just... The AI is not great, but the cards they have and abilities are broken beyond belief, which is what makes them hard.
Okay. Trump, what do you think of the bosses?
Yeah, you're not just on this one.
Yeah.
But in the challenges defense... You do have to really build some decks specifically tailored to the encounters, which I find really cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even when you build the perfect counter deck, you bring it and sometimes you lose. I think that's fine. It's the nature of a card game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't beat the boss in the first try. Sometimes it gets lucky. It's fine. Yeah. It's the nature of Hearthstone. I thought that there were some of the more interesting challenges there. Especially the Hunter one, I know everyone just talked up. Like, there's so much hype over it, where you have the deck with 30 web spinners, it's amazing. I thought it was really fun, and yeah. Lothab in general has a really cool encounter. I think this was one of the best wings in terms of the encounters, so.
Yeah.
You got to play it.
Yeah. I can agree, yeah.
That's true. I mean, to your point, Noxious, I think some of that, you know, just that kind of feeling that you have to do with just how the boards are set up, right? I mean, there, a couple of these boards are set up with, like, the Fen Creeper, right? And even with, I think, the Void Caller in the other one. You know what I mean? It's just, like, you have to have certain cards to answer these cards immediately, or they immediately just burst you down, like, to the point where it's, like, almost impossible to stay alive. The levels are definitely set up to at least... force you to start off with, you know, with a good hand, but it would be, you know, wouldn't be as great if it was easy. And I think making a strong AI is, it takes so much time, right?
I agree.
Think, you know, so the way they make up for it is just to try to come up with, you know, ways where the boss is just has a ridiculous amount of hit points. Some really kind of shortcuts to make it a little bit tougher for everybody.
Yeah, the puzzle is the deck building and not so much the playing lot, which I understand what they're going for. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's easier than designing an AI from the scratch that can actually compete with, you know, the endless possibilities, I guess, that you could come up with.
So with the web spinners, guys, the hunter, the class quest or whatever, what's the best thing you got with a web spinner? Because I was getting garbage every time I would crash those web spinners. I never got a crush. I never got a Savannah High Main. I got, like, Patriarchs and Wolves. And I mean, I just got garbage. I don't even know how I got by it with some of those cards. But did you guys have any dream scenarios with it?
Not really. I mean, Tundra Rhino won the game for me systematically. Okay. Like, that one card makes it so easy.
That's true. Just getting a bunch of charge on all those tiny minions. How about you, Trump?
Yeah, Tundra Rhino MVP. I got a good mix of minions. Some of them were actually pretty useful. So I ended up doing some degenerate engine of Starving Buzzard, Tundra Rhino, and then Web Spinner, about like seven times.
Oh my god. That's awesome. Good stuff. And then the mage one too. What'd you guys think about that? That was just like secret after secret after secret.
Was that too memorable for me, I think. I remember Mad Scientist. Is that possible?
Yeah, they kept playing Mad Scientist, right? I believe the hero kept playing Mad Scientist, and there would just be three secrets most of the game for me.
Yeah, I don't remember at all.
That's one of the class challenges, which really depended on your draw. Mm-hmm. So I actually started off that challenge with a Secret Keeper and then a Kirin Tor Mage. I was like, oh man, if I get a secret, it'll be amazing. And draw a secret for some time. But eventually I did get to them. And also it has like random Nuruvian eggs, which are really good against that specific encounter.
Oh yeah, that's true.
It's a deck that's kind of built against Hygen, so that's cool. And then eventually I got to have the two Secret Keepers and the five Secret Dream, and then attack him with like five, six Secret Keepers, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very flavorful deck, I'd say. These are two of the more memorable hero challenges for me, although I can understand that sometimes your mage draw doesn't draw into like the flavor of it, or just any class challenge, other than the Hunter, doesn't draw into the flavor of it, and then it's like, oh, man, this kind of doesn't seem that great, but
the design of it is cool.
Yeah,
it was a very focused deck.
Mm-hmm. I have one question about the mage deck, because you realize how many secrets you can get through Mad Scientist. You can bypass the seeming cap on secret amounts that you can have in an actual game. So if you get all the secrets through Mad Scientist, I think you can basically have one of each as opposed to a certain maximum. Because playing them through your hand, I think you can get only three?
I think it's just three. Right? Right? I've never seen more than three. Can you have more?
I thought it was five. Like I read up on this and I was like, oh man, I didn't even know there was a cap. So I've heard it's five.
Oh, it's actually five.
All right.
Okay. I've never seen that many question marks on. It's pretty hard to pull that off. To get five.
Because you will trigger both at once, like Ice Bear and Vaporize, and then Counterspell and Spellbender. So a lot of them can just go off of one action.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely makes Mad Scientist so. I mean, Mad Scientist obviously gives you that ability with Kirin Tor.
Yeah.
I wonder if that will ever become viable, Secret Mage. I mean, it seems like that's what they're trying to position with Duplicate being a secret, right? And the card Mad Scientist, too.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for Mad Scientist.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this card.
All right, well, we'll talk some more about the Mage deck in just one second. As for the lore, Trump, you know, obviously you're our World of Warcraft lore guy. How does the lore match up, like, with this play quarter?
I think the lore matches up really well. Mm-hmm. So, Noth says a very memorable line from his Naxxramas World of Warcraft raid. Rise and fight again, something along those lines.
Rise, my soldiers, and fight once more. Rise and fight more.
His hero ability is very flavorful. Heigen is infamous for the Heigen dance, and it's good that you have to worry about positioning. Luxus was actually mentioning that a lot of it is in deck construction, but that was one fight where the play was really important. And finally, the last one, Lothab, that's like the most flavorful of them. In the actual fight as well, in World of Warcraft, it just kept stacking health loss on you, which is reflected in the hero ability, and then you kill the spore and you get super powered and you kill... Like, all of them were mirrored very, very well. And, it's like, cool. All the cards they played also were very flavorful. It's tough to quite explain, but...
Well, you've played Naxx, you know what it is. Good
cards for their class, for their hero.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, that's obvious. Yeah, that's... Keeping with the lores, I think, was really, really important to them, too. And it's kind of cool seeing it translated into the card game. So the spores, we're obviously not going to see the spores in Constructed. That's just insane. But definitely made for that boss battle, you know, to be really swingy and cool in that regard. I kind of wish Alex didn't exist. Like, how much harder would these... Well, actually, the Loatheb one wouldn't have mattered that much, but... Did Alex play any role in any of these battles for you guys?
Not for me. I never played Alex in any Naxx encounter, so I could not tell you.
I know in Arachnid, like I think I played Alex in every single one, but this one didn't seem to have as much.
Funny that you mention Alex. It was actually infamous in this particular quarter for not backfiring badly on one of the encounters.
For Loatheb, right?
Perhaps they could make that for others as well, although I think only in one specific one. Let's see. One specific one in this one is where Alex would hurt. To that, I think like there's some validity. Perhaps instead of being 45 health, 30 health, 15 armor is one good suggestion.
Oh, yeah. That would be good.
I've seen that suggested a lot. Yeah.
That would make things... quite a bit harder, I think, for some of the bosses. Obviously not all of them, but that would be cool. All right, well, anyways, you know, play quarters, I think, you know, overall it's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to start, you know, trying to come up with some cool decks with the cards. I haven't gotten a chance to... I think I was able to build maybe one hunter deck just for giggles, you know, with Web Spinner and Loatheb. But today I'm probably going to try to build some more. But I know you guys have at least played around with some of the decks. And why don't we go into some deck talk here? And we'll start out with Noxious. You have a mage deck that we were going to talk about.
Yeah, very standard in some ways, I think.
And, oh, it's standard. So, yeah, so let's talk about it. So I think just first glance at it, it looks like a giant mage deck. But you do have Loatheb in it. You do have Duplicate in it. So talk to us about... Duplicate, I guess you're trying to go for the big giants here, or like...
Well, it started off as a joke, honestly. Initially, I was just trying to have fun with people like Lothab, Mailhouse, Mukla, Coldlight Oracles, and Cho to mail them and fill their hand up as fast as possible with Duplicate. And then eventually I, you know, tore everything apart and kept only what I thought was relevant. And it eventually looked like a Freeze Mage, except no Ice Lance, no Blood Mage Thalnos. There's no Archmage Antonidas for the late game, so I just kept the giants, and I used Duplicate as a kind of gotcha tool, because whatever they duplicate in the deck is pretty much good for you. It's Lothab is a nightmare for some classes to deal with. Sometimes you'll fall behind, you know, sometimes between turns, you know, just before turn 6, you want to go Nova Doomsayer, but you don't actually have it, and it's very hard to wipe the board. If you play Lothab, I find she buys you time until you can start having the Blizzard Flamestrike sequence until the late game. And if they kill it while you have a duplicate, well, that just buys you even more time. So I find duplicate is very interesting, especially with Twilight Drakes, because against Shamans, being one of the weak to me freeze matchups, it's one of the matchups where if they have the Earthshocks and Hexes properly, if you play Giants, because obviously, you know, if you're playing standard Freeze Mage, they generally have a much harder time of it. They will silence off the Doomsayers and you won't get good board wipes. So they typically silence the Drake, you'll get two back, and at that point they're running out of hexes and silences to deal with Doomsayers and Giants. It's kind of cool. It's a really weird deck. I'm still not sure about the Kirin Tor Mage. I think Polymorph is probably more suited to it because you have no good answer to Ragnaros. But in general, it's pretty good. I'd say. I like it. I like playing with it a lot. It's a lot more handlocky of a playstyle, I find.
Mm-hmm. And you've been having a lot of success too, right? You were telling me, like, yeah, what's the best match? Like, how does it do against Sue?
Same as a regular Freeze Mage,
yeah. Okay.
Except make you sure. get more Moltens because they try to trade, and you duplicate them back, or they try to kill Doomsayer, you get two of them back. They just kind of...
Right.
It deflects damage away from your face, and it just gives you more outs afterwards. It's pretty good.
Hmm. Cool. Trump, what do you think about this deck?
Man, I'm actually just really surprised, because props to you, Noxious, for putting duplicate in the deck. Alright. It's... It's one of those, it's like, I could see it working, and it's hard to see it being necessarily better than the usual Freeze Mage, but yep. I could see this perhaps working on the some of it, because duplicate doesn't trigger haphazardly when you're playing this deck, and mm-hmm. like, they will just think it's Ice Block some of the time, or a lot of the time, and then... Other than that, like, Ice Lance, I think, is really important, but perhaps you can get away with not playing it in with the giant version.
Yeah, well, it's the only... I'm kind of sacrificing the OTK. That's the problem, and I noticed it a lot. I rely on having giants on the board to kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's much, much, much tougher. Like, I barely ever fireball the face. It barely ever happens. I end up using it as spot removal. But, yeah. Collateral Cool can be fun as well against Handlock with Duplicate or against Miracle Rogue. I've killed, I think, 3 Miracle Rogues with Collateral Cools just because of that. It's kind of funny. It's funnier than great, I'll be honest with you, but it started as a fun deck and then it kind of evolved in a semi-good deck. I've gone like 8-0 on Rank 2 right now. It's not too bad.
Oh, really? Wow.
Okay. Yeah. It's not the worst. There are worse decks.
Yeah, there are worse decks.
Okay. But it's just not like... I wouldn't put it tier 1 by far. It's just surprising on lighter.
Yeah, the Kirin Tor, it's kind of funny because it's good and bad for you, right? Especially with duplicate, because if you throw down a Kirin Tor, you don't really want to duplicate a Kirin Tor. And so that's where
that's
can
the
get
thing.
Weird.
It's kind of problematic. That's why usually, like, it's because I face a lot of Lothab, and I realize if I don't have Kirin Tor, I'll never get the Ice Block in time. And it actually ended up kind of working out, because I could cancel their Lothab with my Lothab or the Kirin Tor to an extent.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't the initial intent, but it works for good turns with a nice clutch Ice Block late game.
And what he's referring to is that with Lothab, obviously, causes your opponent to have +5 on his next turn, right, for all spells. But it's an ordering situation, so if you yourself have a card, or some of your Lothab's played against you, and then you have a card that affects spells too, like say Kirin Tor that makes secrets free, then it's always the latter one that takes hold, right? So that's kind of what Noxious is referring to there. It allows him to play the secrets regardless of Lothab. Pretty cool. Let's see, what else? Any so you drop 2 Ice Lances, and what else actually for the Lothab and the Kirin Tor?
Archmage. Well, the thing is, I was running Giant's Mage with Archmage Antonitis and Mirror Images.
Oh,
so
mirror
images were phased
right.
out, Ice Lance is out, and then, duplicate. I find Cold Light and Duplicate to be amazing just to get to those Ice Blocks. It's kind of goofy initially, I thought, but I find that I usually lack the draw that I want for the second Ice Block, or to get to the late game, or big Drakes, big Giants. So it's kind of interesting. At least, like, if you try it out, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Duplicate, I kind of wanted to test out too on aggro mage, just kind of trying to target more low curve thing, you know, like leper gnomes and, you know, things like that, to see how much that affects that matchup also. But duplicate, it's definitely an interesting card, and hopefully people will try it out some more and see if it helps out the mage class. Trump, I know you've been going the free to play route recently, and I know you went down the rogue route and recently changed to Zoo, but I figured we would talk about the rogue here. Actually, let me bring it up. You get it up here. So talk about, I guess, your overall experience with it.
All right, so I started with the Rogue free-to-play because I kind of had it planned that during the first week of Naxxramas' release, that's the free wing. So I was like, okay, my free-to-play is going to have an advantage here because I get to get that extra wing in. So I wanted to choose a class which had the class card featured so I could use even more of these cards. So it was either going to be Poison Seeds or it was going to be Nuruven Ambusher. It turns out that both are really bad. It turns out.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I wish that weren't the case.
Yeah. So, the original version of this deck featured 6 of the Nax cards, with the Nuruven Ambusher, of course, also.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the Nuruven Ambusher and the Haunted Creeper and the Nuruven Egg. The final version of the Rogue still had the Creeper and the Egg. So the general concept of it was a Valley Rogue as opposed to a Tempo Rogue. It didn't run Sap. It didn't run too many things that gave up your card advantage. It just tried to control the board and then draw more cards with the Gnomishes and the Azures and... Eventually, later, I put in even more card draw, the Loot Hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, in a more early version, it would run out of steam on turn 6 or 7. Like the Backspace Rogue, for example, it runs out of steam on like turn 4 or 5, but it's a lot more aggressive, and then sometimes you get Cold Light Oracles. This version, since you don't want to give your opponent advantage, you don't run the Cold Light Oracle. And then I was running out of cards around 6 to 7 until I made the curve even later. And then I started running out of cards turn 8 and 9, and I think that helped out quite a bit. But the big lesson that I learned with this value-type deck, and what ultimately made me change, is like the last tens of games I played, I kept running out of cards near the end, and I would like spend turn 9, and then I would hit him with a dagger, and then I would re-dagger, and it was like...
Turn 9 or dagger, re-dagger. Oh, man.
It's like, And then I got stuck around rank 3-4-ish. And that's when I realized, I mean, all of these minions that are actually run, the Ardent Squire, the Haunted Creeper, the Nuruven Egg, Harvest Golem, Dark Iron Dwarf, Defender of Argus,
yeah.
They're all running Zoo, and Zoo basically takes care of all of the problems with the value, because you get that hero ability to provide constant value, and it helps smooth out your mana curve also, since early game, sometimes you want to tap and then play a 1 card, since you're running out of cards soon, and then sometimes you just have a lot of heavy stuff, and then you can only start tapping on turn 6 or 7 when you start needing to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fits the concept so much better. With the Rogue, I would win games if I drew Azure Drakes and Gnomish Inventors, but sometimes you didn't get them. With Zoo, you always have that hero ability to rely on, and when you think about it, Knife Juggler plus tap is almost as good as Gnomish Inventor, so just always having that option is a lot better than having to rely on drawing the card drawing minions. So this was a good deck to get the fundamentals and then like get to rank 3, and was a good kind of learning experience for me as to why Zoo is strong and why other value decks aren't as strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're referring to Zoo, so obviously... Is it because the Zoo is just so popular in that rank 3-1, or are you seeing any other classes that are dominating except for Zoo?
There's a good amount of other classes. From my stats, it looked like about 1/3 of the games were played against Zoo, but there's another 2/3 out there, and that's on the Asia server ranks.
Oh, okay.
Like early legend ranks 1 to 5, so it's not even necessarily it'll change depending on server and rank.
Yeah. Okay. Noxious, you were going to say something?
No, I don't know. Okay. I've tried the... because it's so hard to justify running a rogue deck that's somewhat aggressive that isn't either tempo or aggro, like complete aggro, like backspace. I don't know exactly how they call it. Backspace rogue with just complete... I hope I don't miss my draw or Cold Light Oracle in the mid game, otherwise I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like Rogue is missing that extra card draw. Like, they've got spells that are really good tempo wise, but then if you're gonna run those, then why not play tempo over value? And you know, if you're gonna surrender those, then why not go fully aggro instead of kind of mid range? Yep. So I see exactly why Trump like had that problem. I've tried it before. It's so hard to make work. When it works, it feels amazing, because you're like, oh, wow, this deck is functional. But then when you don't draw that Gnomish Inventor mid-game, it's excruciating.
I mean, you had to point out that this is a free-to-play deck, too. This is, I mean, there's a lot
of
components even of the aggro deck that you can't have because it's free to play unless you're incredibly lucky. If you're
actually
crazy lucky.
While we're on that topic, okay. This deck happened to be one of the decks, and Zoo also, where I was thinking, oh man, if I had any epics or legendaries, would I even add them in here? And my conclusion was, no, I wouldn't.
Really?
For the Tempo Rogue, though, you would probably want Leroy, but you could still get away with the Arcane Golems and the Shadow Steps, and I considered going that path, but there's so much Zoo right now, and Zoo is a board control deck, which will just be able to control the Tempo Rogue really well. Yeah. Tempo Rogue has a really disfavorable matchup against Zoo, which I think is why you don't see a lot of it right now.
I haven't seen it all, like any at all, in a long time.
Yeah, it's I haven't seen any either. Been a long time. So there's no scrub in this deck, which I think in the past we've seen scrub. Is it just replaced by Haunted Creeper for the most part, or what was your thoughts on not putting it in here?
It turned out that it was amazing when you were going second, but half of the time you are unfortunately not going second.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it kind of gets replaced by Haunted Creeper. I did run that in the initial version, and I just generally have moved the curve up. Like, it's possible that it got replaced by Gnomish Inventor, or it got replaced with Loot Hoarder, something along those lines.
Okay. Well, definitely good stuff. And you did switch over to Zoo. We don't have the Zoo deck to show you guys, but any notable findings with that deck from a free-to-play standpoint?
Pretty traditional Zoo. The exceptional thing was that when I switched, I happened to have an enormous win rate with it. Some of it, perhaps the luck, some of it, perhaps because I'm somehow a Zoo playing genius. It's hard to say.
Yes.
But I ended up playing. I ended up with like a 70% win rate going from rank 3 to legend with it, or rank 4 to legend. So it went
That's
really
good.
Well.
That's pretty good. 70%.
That's really sick, actually.
Sick,
nice streak there.
Yeah. Good decision, or some people would say. That's good. That's definitely great. And the new season actually starts today, right? At the end of today. So what are your thoughts, actually both of your opinions, but what are your thoughts on, I guess, Naxxramas being in the process of being released, there's kind of these phases between ladder switches, and having it going into the final month. This is, I think August will be the final month to qualify for the BlizzCon regional championships. Thoughts on that? Like, is it gonna...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, is it... Do you think it's... I mean, it's obviously fair, because everybody has this, it's in the same boat. But do you think, just having it being, again, just kind of mid-release with an expansion and early on, that it's going to affect the... I guess the good players that have been good for the last few seasons aren't going to be able, they might not be able to make it to the top this season. I mean, are we going to see that sort of thing?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I would say it might even favor them, because a lot of the people who are playing on ladder, who aren't in that qualifying like top 16,
mm-hmm.
most of them happen to not necessarily build their own decks. Maybe. So pros have some kind of pros have some kind of insight as to what they should be playing in a specific meta, and they can adapt on their own. I guess this favors deck builders a lot more, this current situation, a lot more than it did before, maybe.
Yeah,
Trump? That's pretty much what I have.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds me, you talked about the ladder switching over. It turns out that I believe Asia has already switched over, which is why yesterday was kind of my big, okay, this isn't working, let me switch to Zoo for the final day. So I need to get that done before today, since Asia is like some 10, 16 hours ahead.
Right.
So they may have already had the ladder season in. Let's see. In terms of this, as a end note to this season, I think it was one of the hardest seasons. Like, I watched some of the other top streamers who are really good at Constructed, and I noted that even they had a really tough time maintaining a high legend rank.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I saw, like, some of the really good ones I saw get to, like, rank 2, and then they kept playing, and then they fell to rank 100, 200. And then I saw many others with rank 100, 200. I think it was one of the most competitive seasons to date, most notably because people had figured things out. Now, this coming month is the month where there's going to be the most changes because of the new cards, and mm-hmm. I do like how that favors deck builders a bit more and people who are faster to adapt. And I think it's also going to be very tough competition, but you can showcase your skill by bringing something a bit different and making mm-hmm. some innovations and just adapting faster.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed, I'm not sure about I noticed it this season, but in the prior seasons, I noticed that at least a few of the players that ended up, in the top 10 or top 5, some of them basically just came up with a deck that countered, like the most popular deck. For instance, we're talking about Backspace Rogue, right? Whenever that first was introduced, and even like Kit Kat's is Korkron Elite, modification to his control war. Those two decks in particular, I felt like at the end of the season, they just dominated the ladder, like in the last few days, and people just like soared. So is that the type of, is that generally the strategy, I guess, to finish like really, really high? I mean, there are some folks that just play like for instance, Miracle and just are able to pull it off, for Forsen being like one of those people. But generally speaking, like Trump, like is that the strategy? Just figure out just like one deck in the last few days of the season and try to just climb the ranks because you just have a counter to most everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great goal for any deck builder at any time. Mm-hmm. Just face, just do something that has a high win rate against the top two, top three, because it. I've generally found that when you look at the top three decks, they generally take about 66% of the decks played. So if you have a favorable matchup against two-thirds of the field, then you're going to do really well. And sometimes the first place deck is, in the most extreme of circumstances, holding something like maybe it itself is one-third of the field. And then if you have a deck that's good against that, and then a deck that's just, like, even if you're just good against that, decks like it will also be beat. So if you build a deck just against that and not having it suck against the others, you'll already have a favorable matchup against more than 50% of the field, and then mm-hmm. you'll just be, like, okay against the other 50%. And that's just generally the goal. Like, if you can take advantage of what you see out there, you'll do well. And I like that about card games.
Yeah, definitely. And it's more likely to happen, again, this season, I think, of all the times, because, again, like, not as many things will be figured out, I think, by the end of the month. The last release will be, I think, with maybe a week left in the season, so there's going to be some crazy times there at the end. And
they're going to open it, they're going to close the season 1 week after the last Naxxramas release?
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
I think so. I mean, there's three more, right?
Wow.
And it's basically the beginning of August, so maybe a week and a half or something like that. It's going to be crazy time, so hopefully you guys have already qualified, or you guys are going to be like really prepared for just a battle, just a big battle for sure. All right, well, why don't we take a quick break and let you guys actually get some questions in. The Q&A portion is going to start right after the break, and tweet your questions to @ChamMV. We've already got several questions, but I figured I'd give you guys even more of a chance to do that. So we will be right back, guys. All right, guys, we're back, and we are ready to do some Q&A with you guys. Lots of folks writing in questions during the break, which is great. And we're going to start off with, let's see, was it Brillin CTR? Would duplicate work with something like a Leper Gnome in an aggro mage deck? Extra 4 damage. I think alluded to that. That's one of the things I wanted to experiment with. But generally speaking, like, what are your thoughts, guys, on aggro mage? And duplicate.
Well, that's a tough one. I feel like Mad Scientist is going to be somewhat useful come around the end of Nax. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Lepronome is essentially would duplicate a fireball. Like, you're getting at least 6 damage out pretty much for one. Like, you're getting 2 cards for 6 damage. It's not absolutely disgusting, but I can imagine it would be frustrating to run into so many of those. The problem is how much card draw do you put in that deck? Because that seems to be another problem of hyper-aggressive decks. Mm-hmm. You do run into card draw problems. Duplicate kind of compensates by giving you extra bodies. And you're going to be running Mirror Images anyway, an aggro mage. So do you really want to get those back with Duplicate at the wrong time? You know, with a Knife Juggler, Sorcerer's Apprentice, mm-hmm. Mirror Image combination. So I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it. I just know that it could see play. Like, I don't dislike the aggro secret idea, like with Kirin Tor Mage being a 4-3.
Yeah. Trump?
Those are some really good points, Noxious. And the reason why there are so many people who are hating on Duplicate is just because in the situation envisioned, wouldn't you rather play Arcane Intellect? You draw the two cards immediately, and aren't they going to be on average better than Lepronome based on your situation? Because when you're on turn, like, as aggro, you're not going to play... Well, I say you're not. Sometimes you have to. But your ideal play is not to stop the aggression and then play Duplicate on turn 3. Like, they kill your Lepronome, then you have only your turn 1 and turn 2 play. And then, what, on turn 4 you play 2 Lepronomes? That's hardly any aggression at all. So...
That's a good point.
It's just... It seems too slow. In Noxious's deck, which is the Freeze Mage with the Duplicates... That might have some potential because you're drawing some really high value minions off of those generally, or minions of a specific purpose. And it's like one of the few decks that I could see Duplicate possibly being valid in.
Well, I mean, you'd be forced to play Kirin Tor, right? If you were to do this kind of aggro mage for kind of what you're saying with the tempo. I mean, you'd lose tempo playing Duplicate on a 3, right? So it'd have to be essentially free for you to play it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it's valid. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Much.
That's where mad scientists. Yeah, that's where mad scientists can come in play too.
Yeah, and before deck with 2 mad scientists, 2 Kirin Tors, 2 mirror entities for the tempo gain that you get, their minion would charge, and 2 duplicates just to get more of them.
Yeah. Okay. Oh god. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some dream scenarios, which is pretty crazy, but try it out, guys. You know, it never hurts to try things out, and I'm sure things will be discovered that could be really, really cool. Let's see. Tim Dope Smosh 8 asks, what's your favorite deck in Hearthstone right now?
To who?
I think it's just all of us. Oh. You guys have a favorite deck? I don't think I have one right now. There's a lot of decks I just like right now. So I played some Paladin, played some Shaman recently. So I don't have a favorite one, honestly, right now. Especially with Naxx. It's just in flux. Either of you guys?
Yeah, well, I'll say Freeze Mage with Duplicate because it's hell of a lot of fun, but that's just because I've been like stuck on it for the past 3 days. And other than that, I guess Priest with Makesna. That's another one that I haven't seen at all. Yeah, I haven't seen much of it, but it's when Zoo is over everywhere, you can actually have fun with that one. But it's not good. It's not generally good. Like, it's going to lose against most of the metagame, but it is fun. That's all it is.
Trump, anything?
Well, as someone who likes to have the edge on things, my favorite deck just happens to be whatever it is that, like I earlier talked about my deck constructing motto, whatever I think is good against 50% or more of the decks out there. Mm-hmm. So okay. It changes from time to time. Currently, it seems like the deck to beat is Zoo. So my favorite deck might be something like a Warrior Control deck right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. War Control, always a lot of fun. What do you think is, or Super Sop 200 asks, what do you think is the best card animation in the game? Oh, I know mine, but I'll let you guys go first. Trump, you want to go first on this one?
Sure, Twisting Nether. I like the big, explodey, flashy effect.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. Wow, that's interesting. I've never even thought of it. Explosive Trap looks pretty cool, but... I can't say it's my favorite one.
I think mine. I don't know. Mine right now. I mean, it could be just because it's a new thing. Is I really like the ooze,
the echoing ooze.
Yeah, the echoing ooze. I think the echoing ooze is really cool, and I hope. Yeah, I hope we see a lot more of that. Just these nice subtle things. But it's so, it's so unique to that card. There are a lot of things that generate tokens and minions that are pretty generic, right? And they all look the same. So the ooze, I was really impressed by the ooze and hope they... And it's like my favorite one right now.
Brawl's pretty cool.
Brawl? Yeah, Brawl's cool too. What do you think of the change? Do you guys like it or not? Not the last man in anymore.
I guess I could. I mean, the ape in me is liking it when it turns out right, but the human being in me says, can I please know what it is faster so that right. I can move on?
Right.
Great change. Much more suspense.
Yeah. Just that extra second of suspense. Pyro Foxable asks, ever tried cutting the whole Armorsmith Acolyte Whirlwind Taskmaster package? Here's an example deck list, and let me cut and paste it in the chat here. Here we go. So, have you guys ever tried a warrior without, you know, what a lot of people, a lot of people use as the foundation of the early game, right? And just any kind of pressure you can put in the early game is, I think it's pretty much all in this whole Taskmaster Acolyte Armorsmith package. Any thoughts on this?
I feel like it's one of the most functional ones, at least. I mean, we have seen decks like Temple Warrior come around that are not, like, they happen to suffer from the same problems that, you know, other decks that are running a similar thing tend to run into, where they have to put in Loot Hoarders and, you know, Blood Mage Thalnos, Azure Drakes, just for the card draw. And, I mean, if I'm going to run Control Warrior without Acolyte of Pain, then, like, Shield Block, is that it? You know, there's a limited amount of cards that you can put in.
Yeah,
that really fit the archetype. And I think Armorsmith and Acolyte just fit it too much and synergize with too much stuff that you can justify removing them. I just don't see the point.
Yeah. Trump?
I will say this much. When I saw that deck list, I got a blast from the past back to about 4 or 5 months ago, Fight Night number 1. These are the types of warrior control decks that were being run. The Ancient Watcher egg taunt system wasn't being run, but with the egg, maybe it's viable. Basically, the theory was that perhaps you don't need that much card draw, since in the end game you play all of these cards which will 2-for-1 your opponent, in theory. There are problems with this deck. It might fall over too quickly. Maybe you don't get card draw against late game. Why aren't you just playing a druid, because druid has Ancient of Lore and can ramp even faster?
That's a good point, actually.
But yeah. I think that overall this deck does have its advantages over it as well, because you have more efficient clear, you have your hero ability, which is possibly better, but maybe not. And it's, like I generally encourage, try it out. If you hit Legend with it, then consider that a sign that you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I guess. My first glance at it, I think it would struggle. I mean, my first thoughts is it would struggle against Zoo. I mean, it's really dependent upon, like, very specific draws, actually, to survive what's currently out there with Zoo. And it's got Brawls, but Brawls, for the most part, I mean, unless you get...
He's got two, actually.
He's got two, but he doesn't have any Armorsmith, so it's just like, you know, he's not gonna nail those Brawls. No, but Brawls, you know, if you don't actually clear the board completely, which most of the time you don't, right, like your opponent's still left with one, then Zoo is still going to have tempo on you and have that crazy advantage on you. And your late game, I guess you do have a Baron, but...
Yeah, isn't Zoo favored against Control Warrior anyway baseline, I think? A lot of the time.
Yeah, unless you're Kit Kats.
It's maybe like a little in the favor of Zoo. I'm not sure. Slightly. I'm not entirely sure yet. Yeah, I mean, that just makes it a little worse. I mean, if you get the Watcher Egg plus Taunt, yeah, it's pretty much, you're good to go. But other than that, yeah, pretty hard.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Oh, okay, let me find where I was here. Okay. So Jesse Jewell, do you feel like Warlock is becoming the new meta, and would Void Terror be a reasonable addition to Zoo with the egg and power overwhelming? I think Warlock's always been in the meta, so I don't even know if it's new meta or not. But I guess, what do you guys think of it? Do you think it's? Do you think there's been a new wrinkle to all this? You know, with the Warlock. Warlock's always been strong, right? Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, Warlock has always been strong, and Zoo has always been a major contender. Mm-hmm. However, it is true that with Nurby and Egg, and with this the new spider, the one that summons guys, I somehow can't remember its name, but Creeper.
Creeper.
It's gotten better. and it is only going to get better. Well, that's not entirely true. It will get more tools. One of the cards to look out for, Reynad and I hyped it up a lot, is going to be the Zombie Chow, the 1-mana 2/3. That's going to make Zoo go to the next level. Noxious, you're shaking your head. What's
I
up?
Don't. I never want to see this card.
That card is.
I don't want to see the day where it falls in the game and tempo gain is irrecoverable. Like, you can't recover. It is a nightmare come true.
Yeah, I mean, just having this 1-mana card, which technically should be costed at 2, but because of the drawback, it's enough to save a mana on. You get that out early, and there's potentially a snowball effect where you give your user 1 drop, and you're actually able to kill the opponent's 2 drop more often, and then you just stay ahead.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had played something like a Voidwalker instead, then your opponent might not be able to... You might not be able to kill your opponent's 3-2, but...
The biggest thing is that the penalty is not even existent, right? If you play it on turn 1.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing for me. It's like,
there are times where you get it late game and it's quite bad, it's true. But it's those starts where you gain your advantage with Zoo, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of a shame, too, because I think that card is going to be... that my opinion is that I think it's going to be way too powerful. But I do like how it could be really cool with Priest, right? So it's just a shame that it
20
it
damage pushed... in one turn.
I mean, you know, it's cool, right? I mean, I like the potential of it in Priest. I just it's just going to be too strong in Zoo, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, Arcanine Soul Priest is just like it just added another layer of fun to the game. I think the thing is, like, how do you pull off the Baron Riven there, Arcanine double shell circle of healings? Like, there's 5 cards you need to get 20 damage burst. It's a lot of mana, but as a priest, you could stay alive until, you know, 5 cards are in your hand, and then you drop 20 damage in one turn, unstoppable. How do you what? Like, it's I don't know what's gonna happen with the Chow, whatever it's called. But I'm scared. Like,
Well, you could go that route. You could just go just generally more of an aggro priest too. With the Akanai and the Chow. But just to follow up on his second part of the question, Void Terror, reasonable addition to Zoo with Egg and PO. What do you guys think of Void Terror? Noxious, I'll you take this
well,
one first.
Void Terror, yeah, it's... I mean, I've seen a lot of people run Void Terror these days. It's like Power of Whelming is coming back with a force on the Egg, and they just follow it up with a Void Terror because why not? You know, why wouldn't I get a 7-8 out of my Egg on top of a 4-4 and 4 damage? You know, why wouldn't I do that? And the only ways that I found to beat it, I'm just happy that I'm playing Freeze Mage, essentially. Because without Nova Doomsayer, I don't see myself stopping this at any... Like, I guess Control Warrior could do it pretty damned well, but outside of that, I mean, Sap, maybe? Play Miracle Rogue if you have it in your hand. It's just very hard to, you know, to counter without silences.
Void Terror. Trump?
Right, I think it's a different direction. I think Zoo has kind of branched off to... will branch off to 3, like, subsects of Zoo eventually. One subsect is going to be the Undertaker version with a lot more Death Rattle.
Yeah.
One subsect is going to be this Void Terror Power Overwhelming version. And then one is just, like, the vanilla Solid All Around. I happen to be more of the vanilla Solid All Around type guy because I don't necessarily want to get the... I don't want to risk my game on needing Power Overwhelming and an Egg and Void Terror. Now, I understand that it's fine without, but it turns out that Void Terror is quite bad when you don't combo it with, like, an Egg or Power Overwhelming in specific. Right. And that's the problem with Void Terror. It has some major upside, and I think it has its validity, and I think it's a good deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bit more risky. And
put, yeah, all your eggs in one basket, right? It's the same. It's the big problem, right? It's
nice, the, Noxious, nice.
Oh, I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
I swear, I didn't. I kid you not.
No, it's a lot of fun, though. I mean, if you've never tried it, I'd highly encourage you try the Void Terror Egg and PO, because it's a lot of fun getting some things. But I do agree that the Void Terror shouldn't be... Like, you shouldn't try to build a giant Void Terror ever, I don't believe. It's just too... There's too much single target removal in this game, and, you know, that's kind of what Void Terror plays into a lot. But a single Egg is good, man. 3-5 and a 4-4. Like, it's pretty good play. All right, Oda asked, How do you feel about the restrictions that are preventing pro players such as RDU from entering the BlizzCon championship? So this is kind of, I guess, you know, it was one of the biggest threads right now. Today, RDU posted something on Reddit just really explaining that he can't participate in the BlizzCon championships for whatever reason. I think it has to do with being in or just being Romanian. What do you guys think about this situation? I don't know. Are you guys familiar with what's going on here, Noxious?
I am not familiar with the laws or the regulations that are responsible for this. Yeah. But obviously, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I guess if Trump has any insight as to what's going on, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, Trump, do you have any insight on any of this?
My insight is really basic and simple. It's that for some reason, and presumably Blizzard has a good reason, these countries and even some states are barred from competing, probably because the states and or countries have dumb laws. And I'd say that it's just important for I think it would be a good gesture for Blizzard to explain why this is not allowed, because I think RDU is a great player and he deserves to be there. And if it's because of some dumb law that's barring him from doing so, then you know, that's too bad, but they should say so. Yeah. And if there's anything they can do to accommodate that, like perhaps, I mean, I understand it would be a risk and they'd have to work it out. It's a legal nightmare sometimes, but it's worth trying, I'd say.
Yeah.
So RDU is doing, I kind of like him bringing it to the spotlight, and it makes me feel for him because it's too bad that because of some unfortunate circumstances, clearly out of everyone's control, that he might not be allowed to compete, but at the very least, he deserves a reason why.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you there. I think Blizzard just needs to at least explicitly state why you can't compete in these countries/states. He's not the only guy. I mean, there's some other folks, too, that are just not as high profile as RDU that are in the same boat. There are a lot of countries, not a lot, but there are a decent amount of countries on that list that aren't able to participate in BlizzCon. And RDU is arguably one of the best players right now. I mean, it's hard to actually argue that he's not even, you know, he actually claims he's top four, but given his results, he and Amaz have definitely had the highest results, like in the last four or five events. So pretty hard to argue that he's not at least top three or even top two right now. So it'd be really unfortunate if you know, a player at that caliber isn't going to be represented at BlizzCon. But at the same time, I can understand Blizzard not being able to do something, because if you do something for them, then you have to do something for everybody else, like in the same boat, and that would take a lot of time, I'm just imagining. So who knows what will happen, but I think at the very least, an explicit statement about why would be, you know, just at least enough
An explanation, at least, so people actually get it. We might still not like it, but at least we'll have some kind of understanding to what's going on.
I mean, the explanation is going to be really simple. There's country laws that prohibit us from inviting them.
Yeah, but
it'd be nice for them to say it, I guess.
Yeah, but it's just like which laws, because like everybody's just trying to guess. It's not is it gambling laws or gaming laws? Because like when you have a tournament in Romania, then the Romanians can participate in it, and then you have, I think he threw out an example of Night End, who's Romanian, who's a StarCraft II player, who's competed in other countries before too, so you know, there's definitely, even like stating like which one it is, I think would actually be nice, but you know, we'll see what they say. But I think Blizzard will probably address this in the near future, given that, you know, RDU is bringing it to light.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, Daps to Ninja. We'll take a couple more here. Okay. So Daps to Ninja, what do you enjoy most about the Naxxramas expansion?
The flavor of it. I'd say.
Flavor lore. In the design, or just, you mean
the design,
lore,
the entire graphical lore, everything about that I think is amazingly done. That's what I like most about it. I mean, I'm a Vanilla WoW kid, so this brings back memories, like big ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty cool.
Trump?
Yeah, man, Vanilla WoW, Nax was my favorite raid from it. And I think the cards the cards and the encounters, they do a good job to let those who have played that before reminisce. So, and for those who haven't played Naxxramas, it has its own. The encounters display the bosses very well, individually and uniquely. My favorite part about it is that the heroic bosses are harder than I thought they would be, and that you do actually need to build decks. I was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to take my zoo and crush all of them when I first start. Oh, that apparently doesn't work. So, good on that.
Yeah.
And I just like everyone else, I like the new cards. New cards are great in collectible card games. Hopefully they release three sets a year, four sets a year. Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Two sets a year, all right, fine.
As often as
you like. No, three sets a year. At least three sets a year would be enough.
But they did say the infrastructure was already in place, so they could release the next ones a bit faster, right? I recall reading that somewhere.
Yeah, I think that was the plan. I mean, if it's only going to be 30 cards at a time, I hope it's like three, at least three. But if it's going to be bigger than, you know, 60, 80 cards or something, then, you know, two would be, I think, okay. My thing, I just enjoyed the, you know, the solo adventure. I just enjoy the content that they made there. Besides the cards, I was most looking forward to the new cards and building new decks. But given that it's staggered, you know, I'm just really enjoying the solo adventure part of it and the, you know, that puzzle aspect of it. That's been a lot of fun. Okay, we got, let's see, all right, we got one that's talking about the issues, so, and then one we'll talk about Priest. So we'll talk about the one with the issues first, and then we'll talk about, and we'll end it with Priest. So, well, one of them is, what do you think about the, let's see, where is it? Okay, what do you think about the crazy issues in regards to the release of play quarters right now in Europe?
They still have the problems right now? It's still up?
They made a statement about it today. I'm not sure if it's still going on or not, but, you know, I guess the problems meaning, like, being, you know, purchasing it or you know, spending the gold or whatnot on the play quarters and then not being able to get in, right? What do you guys think about that? This not great. I mean, it's just
releases are releases.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
Like, I don't really know what to say. I don't think I remember a single launch of any game of any event within a game that I haven't had problems in. So
yeah,
I think I'll let that one slide as well.
That's like, what do you think about it? It sucks.
Yeah, so, I mean, the reason.
What do you do about it? Releases are releases. These things happen. Yeah. You catch as many bugs as you can. Sometimes some escape your grasp. It's just a harsh dose of reality.
And the thing is, they said that they are gonna, you know, make sure that everybody that spent the money is gonna get it all back. So you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna be cheated out of any gold or any of that any money that you've spent on it. So it just comes with the territory. I mean, I've released many products in my career, and there's always, it's like Murphy's Law sometimes. Whatever can go wrong, and it seems to always go wrong. So whether it's operations or it's actually, you know, code or whatnot, something will go wrong when it releases. And unfortunately, you know, like with this, it happens to be just the purchasing side of it. But they'll resolve it. They'll resolve it and get it fixed ASAP, I think. Let's see. Priest. Okay, last question. Can we talk about Priest? Toe Dragon Bardown asks, can we talk about the place of Priest in the current meta and where we think it will be after all the cards are released?
Well, Temple Priest coming around post-Nax? I don't know. I'd like to see it come around, for sure. I know that I'll be trying Combo Priest with that Chao guy, but I mean, I can't guarantee that I'll live up until that point. The amount of decks that are coming out, I think Dark Cultist being as strong as it is nice for Priest, like, as far as it's... Now, it's getting back its tempo without having to commit more than, you know, three cards on the board with a combo piece. So it can actually be not too bad. I think it'll be a lot stronger once, you know, obviously all the Nax cards are released. Or it might get much weaker by virtue of other decks being that much stronger. I'm still not entirely sold on that.
Do you think Dark Cultist breaks the class? Because we had Raynet on last week, and
yeah,
he actually thinks it breaks Priest.
Yeah, I think it does.
Really?
To an extent. Okay. Yeah,
all right, so you're along the same lines. Yeah, Trump, you know, Trump, I think me and Trump were like on the side where it's going to be really strong, but I don't think it breaks the class.
Yeah, and I still maintain that.
Yeah.
What do I think about Priest in the current meta? Well, it's just because of their hero ability as well as their cards, they have no cards that promote aggression other than Mind Blast. Mm-hmm. the cards mainly focus on buffing, and their hero ability focuses on healing, which is quite bad when you're trying to go on the offensive. Unlike Warrior Control, which you would think has no place in an aggro deck, they have these weapons, which do a lot of damage for the mana cost. Firewax, 2 mana Fireball, Arcanine Reaper, 5 mana Pyroblast.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
Priest has nothing like that, so their role is pretty much very confined to the control slash late game role. And if someone builds a deck that is not that, I would be rather impressed. Like, there's another version, perhaps, where you could go super aggro with Divine Spirit Inner Fire and then, like, try to kill them really fast. I think that's one possible route.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But more in whole, it's going to be a control-y type style. Dark Cultist, I think, cements that because it has a high health value and it also buffs health. So you can use your hero ability to sustain longer, and Priest is infamous for being like the class you're most likely to face off against and then go into fatigue against, and that's because they usually last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their role, and with Dark Cultist coming up, I think their role will be a bit better, and that is my take on Priest.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do like the Zombie Chow options, though, with Aconite. Yep. It still relies heavily on Aconite, obviously. I don't think Shadow Form is going to be coming into play anytime soon here.
Shadow Form.
Yeah.
On the topic of Zombie Chow, I do think that it'll fit into most control decks just because a 1-mana 2-3 is good, and control decks generally don't worry about the opponent's health.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of that, I think. And then you can you can't justify it in like pure to the face decks, but I think Zombie Chow will be in a lot of decks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
it'll solidify tempo so easily early game.
That it's a finisher too. It's a
when
finisher
you're a board
too.
Control deck, it gets something out. Pretty much the only deck that won't be running is just pure to the face backspace rogue or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, that's going to be it, guys, for questions. Thanks for all the viewers for tweeting those questions. Lots of good ones today. But going to wrap the show up. And Noxious, pleasure having you on this week. Hopefully, we can have you on again sometime. We won't have to wait. What was it, like 7 months to have you on like this last time?
Yeah.
But indeed. Want to do any shout outs, thank yous?
None at all. None.
Okay. Trump, want to do some shout outs and thank yous?
Yeah, so shout out to Logitech. I am with TSM, and one of their sponsors is Logitech. And cool Logitech stuff came in today. I'm on a new webcam, which.
Yes.
Captures a lot more of me in higher resolution. Wow. And my keyboard is a lot quieter now, so it's good stuff. And also, Alienware, thanks for that. My new computer is coming in soon. Hooray.
Awesome.
Which will probably have some HyperX memory in it. Yay.
So any changes to the stream with the new computer? Any like enhancements or anything? Or nah, just everything's just going to run faster for you?
I mean, the big thing is just going to be when I get a new computer, my stuff will actually be able to run. It's pretty nice.
Okay, well, that's good. That's always good. I'll wrap things up by thanking, of course, you two guys for doing the show. It's always a lot of fun with you, Trump, every week, and then Noxious again this week. Be sure to check out Noxious' stream. His stream is a lot of fun, entertaining, and it's twitch.tv/NoxiousHS, or...
HS, Noxious.
Noxious underscore HS, and of course Trump. You guys all know. You don't even have to Trump. It's you guys know Trump's stream. You don't even have to advertise it here. And of course, this stream too. If you enjoy Value Town, follow the channel. It's a great way to get notifications when the show's going live. And you can follow us all on Twitter at ChamMV, at TrumpSC, and at Noxious GLHF. Right, I believe that's that's your Twitter. But that's going to conclude
One more thing.
Oh, one more thing?
I almost forgot to mention.
Oh, I almost forgot something,
there
too.
There was a Prismatic... Or, no, what was it called?
Prismata.
Coming up on Sunday, 3 p.m., and it'll be cast... Or 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
And it'll be cast on Hafu's stream, and casted by yours truly and Hafu.
Yay.
So be sure to check that out. Some really strong players made it top 6. Drivecrow, Tides of Time, Gaara... Brad, Ignite, Freshka, and I have heard, although I haven't seen the game so far, heard from the guy editing it, that the games are very good.
Okay, great. For those of you not familiar with Prismatic Cup, it's run by Alex, and Alex Weiss, and he wants to create a tournament or a cup that's based on multiple parameters, one being the ladder rankings, one being just, I think, general rankings. I mean, he's still trying to figure it out, but the whole point is to really get folks that are producing on the ladder and that sort of bit into a tournament that's somewhat resemblance of like a players' championship type of thing, if you're familiar with other sports. So check it out, definitely. Of course, Trump and Hafu's casting will be a lot of fun, and it should be good. It should be a really packed weekend, actually. I think WEC is going on too, and I'm doing a fireside gathering here in South Florida too. So if you live in South Florida, come and check that out. You can find out the information on Liquid Hearth. It's actually going to be in Coral Springs. If you're in Miami, or if you're in West Palm or wherever, just come out and hang out. We're going to actually have a tournament there. The winner's going to qualify for the BlizzCon, qualifier too. So come and play Hearthstone too, as well as hang out with a bunch of folks that love Hearthstone. But that's going to be it, guys, for Value Town. VODs are going to be up at youtube.com/ChanManV shortly after, and we will see you next week. Peace.
Peace out.
Bruce.